Dating and meeting women online used to be something that you'd have to hide from your friends. You'd have to make a sacred pact with your new love not to tell anyone how you met. But in the last few years, internet dating and dating through apps has become an accepted and oftentimes preferred way for single people to meet and get to know each other. And navigating this world brings its own set of challenges. Today, my guest is an online dating expert and coach. We're going to talk about how to present your most authentic self online in the best possible light so you can start to create some amazing connections online and bring them out into the real world. The Authentic Man Podcast, Episode 8. I'm your host, Aiden. Stay tuned.
I see my path.
I see my path.
I stand in integrity.
My life has purpose, meaning.
Adversity gives me strength.
Adversity gives me strength.
I am a warrior, a lover,
a leader,
a leader.
I am.
I am
a man.
The Authentic Man Podcast, redefining modern masculinity.
My guest today is a self-proclaimed nerd turned online dating expert. He's the founder of eDating Doc Academy, which helps guys learn how to navigate the world of online dating sites and apps. He's been featured on the Katie Couric Daytime Show, and he's been named the number one online dating coach by the PUA Summit Awards. The eDating Doc himself, Radio Wright. How's it going, Radio?
It's going great. Absolutely wonderful. Best day of my life.
That's good to hear. Thanks for being on the show. So can you tell our listeners a little bit more about what edatingdoc.com is all about?
EDatingDoc, that's where I help guys get better results with online dating, their online dating efforts. Like sites like Match.com, eHarmony, OkCupid, any of these sites, help them get better results.
Great. Tell us a little bit about your story. Like, how did you come to be the eDating Doc?
I went to school for engineering, and for 8 years I specialized in building these huge multi-million-dollar construction projects. And during that time, I was kind of pressed for time. I needed to, you know, I still wanted a date, so I got into online dating. And the help that I did find, it wasn't very good. And just by kind of helping myself, I figured things out. And during that time of doing all of this engineering work, I got really burnt out on it. So I got more and more into helping guys with online dating and kind of got more and more away from the engineering. I still do a little bit of engineering consulting, but I don't do it full time like I used to. So that's really nice. I actually took a big pay cut, but now it's cool because, you know, I can kind of just do what I want and I have a lot more freedom. So that's more important to me than having like a big giant paycheck.
Yeah, it's definitely good to do something you love.
Yeah.
So in your bio, you talked a lot about using your engineering skills to kind of break down the dating game and really to face your fears. Can you tell a little bit about what it was like facing your fears and insecurities about dating and meeting women?
Yeah, when I talk about using my engineering skill, it's like whenever you're going through engineering school, they put you through more kind of work than you would ever put on yourself and that you could ever kind of force yourself to do. So I was already in that mindset, so I could like do a ton of like research and work because I was in that mindset. I was used to being pushed at that time. Mm-hmm. So I was able to put a ton of work into it. And when it comes to facing my fears, like I did get into the whole PUA scene initially right when I was like in college and started trying to learn how to talk to girls because I got really shy. Because I was just living at the library and my social skills kind of plummeted. But then after that, I just really wanted to better myself. And I just happened to kind of cross up with like the right people. You know how they talk about you're kind of the average of your six closest friends or something mm-hmm. like that. Yeah. And like that is really important. And it's weird because I still have not run across anybody else. Like these couple of guys that I became friends with, they were insanely motivated. And they influenced me in such a huge way. I still have not ran across people. It's hard to find people that are really insanely motivated. Like sometimes I'll read about these kind of people, but it's different whenever they're your friends and they're like massively influencing you. And they had this game. It's called, it was between brothers. They called it, what did they call this game? They would give each other these challenge stretch club. So they would write out a challenge that they thought that the other person needed to grow in, and it would be some crazy ass challenge. So I got kind of wrapped up in that and doing these challenges to better myself, and it really puts you outside of your comfort zone. And that was a really cool thing to be in, and it was really good. Even though these are my fears, it was kind of fun. After a while, you get used to kind of doing things that are really new and kind of facing your fears and growing. So it became fun. It wasn't really a hard thing. It was maybe uncomfortable initially, but it was fun. It's cool because you can see yourself grow.
Yeah, that's good to have sort of like a support system around you to help you with that. You know, because I think that a lot of the advice that you hear about dating, a lot of the times is you just have to be confident and you just have to be yourself. But I mean, obviously, that's a really hard pill for a lot of people to swallow. So you talked about having that group that kind of pushes you. Was there anything else that kind of helped you come into your own confidence or authenticity about finding yourself?
I guess like just being confident in what I was doing, you know, and having like a mission and going after that thing. Like when I was doing the engineering forever, you know, I knew that's what I wanted to do at the time. And also I just happened to have certain relationships that really kind of helped me reinforce that, because I started dating a girl that was kind of famous, and she was married at one time when she was younger to a guy that was really famous. And all her friends were extremely successful, like way more successful than, you know, I was with what I was doing. So at the time I would like start to maybe brag a little bit to her, but then I was thinking like this girl was married to this guy that was insanely, you know, off the charts successful. And then all her friends are way more successful. What the hell am I bragging about? So it made me just comfortable with what I was doing and be able to just discuss that thing without bragging and just being confident in what I was doing and why I was doing it.
Yeah. It was a humbling experience. Yeah. Before you mentioned about you spent some time in the PUA world. I've had a little run in that world myself. It seems like a lot of people are looking for that kind of cut and paste scripted approach to dating that sometimes that world can provide. Can you talk about the value of that, about having systematic approaches versus the value of just being authentic and being yourself?
Well, there's definitely some value, especially in like approaching people in public, I guess online as well, but it's not necessarily as much online. That whenever, I mean, if you have no clue what you're doing and you can copy like successful behavior, at some point that behavior, like you see what is more or less like fits with who you are, and you can kind of incorporate that into who you are, and it becomes natural. So it no longer becomes like this unnatural thing you're doing. Mm-hmm. So I guess it would just be kind of like having a really, you know, smooth friend, you know, and you're just kind of copying his behavior. And, you know, that's really good. But at some point, you want to kind of incorporate certain things that you feel comfortable with, and those things will become natural to you. You know, because I used to be like all over the place, and some of the things that maybe I learned from some of those guys were very unnatural at the time that I wouldn't even think about it now because it's so ingrained in like what I do. So, you know, it definitely has its place, but at some point, definitely need to kind of incorporate things into who you are.
Right. Bring more of your personality into the mix.
Yeah.
I see that your engineering mind is still kicking really strong, and now you're taking your dating game to a whole new level that most people will never, ever experience. And you're going on 150 dates in a year.
I'm actually extending that year out.
You're extending that year out. What number are you on right now?
Right now, actually, I'm on like 76.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I see why it might be hard for most people to get dates with women, because they're all going out with you right now. So how's that going? And, you know, why did you choose to take on that challenge?
Well, a few reasons. One is that I wanted to, when I started doing the e-dating doc business, I wanted something to kind of inspire people, to kind of get them to follow along so they can see that, you know, what I was doing and learn from what I was doing. And also I wanted to grow. I wanted to learn more about relationships. I wanted to grow as a person. And, you know, my view is that if, you know, because I've actually had some heat about it, like some girls will be like, oh, it's gross, why are you going out with so many people? But let's say if the girl that I do, you know, settle down with, and she knows that I went on so many dates and, you know, I have that experience and I chose her because she clicks the best with me. And I really know that because I've been on so many dates. Like, I think she would feel more special rather than someone that has no dates and they're just reaching for whatever they can get. Like, now I know that this person is the right person for me because I have all this like frame of reference.
Yeah, I saw that on your site. You mentioned that you were trying to kind of get over this grass is always greener mentality. So when you find...
I've definitely already got over that, man.
Oh, you got over that already? Good, good.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about that in the last episode. I think that's a really common mindset trap that people fall into, especially in long-term relationships. You know, they get to thinking that there's something always better out there for them. So that's great that you've already got over that. What do you have any insights that can help other people who are starting to feel that way?
Yeah, I have a lot of insights about that. I think that guys and girls both, man, they're like really not very good at relationships. I think guys and girls are not very good communicators and they don't really know what that means. I see that a lot of guys, they don't know what their needs are. Like maybe let's say if a guy is in a relationship and the girl, he actually thinks the girl is amazing. But for some reason, he gets this feeling. He's like, I don't feel like I just don't want to be in this relationship. Why? Is something wrong with me? Because I hear guys ask me that sometimes. And it's a few reasons. It's mainly because you're not getting your needs met. Like whatever that is, you know, if your need is actually to get out and explore more, that could be possibly it. Or is it that you're not voicing your needs to this girl so she can meet those needs? That's more likely what the thing is. So just learning what your needs are and being able to communicate those. And another thing I learned is that if I sense that I can't communicate with the person, I used to maybe would chase, because that's what that behavior is built for. It's built for you to make you chase this girl. And they kind of unconsciously know that. But now that I know that, and I know that that's all that's going to do is drag out a relationship that's not going to work. Now I know to just kind of cut that. You know, I can openly discuss it with them and let them know what their behavior is doing. But I know to cut it if they can't kind of figure out themselves, because I don't have time to just be teaching someone for years how to have a good relationship.
Right. That can be really frustrating when you're trying to do the work to get better in relationships and you're kind of meeting their walls a lot. And that's really good advice too, is to get in touch with your own needs about things. That's something I've talked about quite a bit too.
Yeah, it was definitely really nice for me just to learn how to communicate properly and communicate my needs. And it took me so long to figure that out. I don't know. And it's so simple and you hear it all the time, but I don't know. It just took me a long time to really figure that out. And I just don't think a lot of people like have it down, especially you know, I've gone on dates with girls that have a lot of stuff like right, but then they're just horrible communicators.
Yeah, it's a big problem, I'd say. I'm just kind of curious for myself. Do you have like a best date, worst date story? I know I have a few, but I'd love to hear if you have just an ultimate disaster story or anything like that.
I don't know, man. I have a ton of date stories. I have some. I even saved some photos in my phone because some of them are so crazy. I'm like, you got to see the photo.
Pixar didn't happen.
Like I had like on the bad side, I had a date. I actually wrote about it on my site that the date lasted total of like, I don't know, 30 seconds.
Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. And I've had dates that were really good. Like just crazy things would happen, you know, really fun. And like I went out with a girl that's like, I guess this is a more California new agey thing. She was all earthy and I don't know. We ended up at the ocean in the middle at midnight and we're naked in the ocean. And she's like, do you feel the power of the ocean? I'm like, yeah, whatever. So that was really interesting. The date that lasted like 30 seconds, the girl arrived and she was just nothing. She was almost a different person. I'm like, and normally I don't mind sitting through a date for the experience, but I was just not feeling it that night. And she was a little bit late. So I got up to go to the restroom when she was arriving. I was like, hey, I'm gonna go to the restroom. I'll be right back. And when I saw her, she was dishonest about who she was. Like she was like 30 pounds heavier and like a lot older and just looked totally different. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason to be dishonest like that. It's good just to put yourself out there for who you are. And I don't know, I was a little bit aggravated. I walked to the restroom and while I was in the restroom, I was like even getting more aggravated. I'm like, whatever, man, I don't feel like dealing with this. And when I walked out of the restroom, it's like the universe was like speaking to me. There was this big giant fire exit sign calling my name. And I'm like, man, whatever. I'm fucking leaving. So I bailed out the fire exit. Like I felt like some weird James Bond movie. I'm like, and I text her. I'm like, yo, you know, this is not work. This is like you or being dishonest in who you were. And that's really important to me. So, you know, we can't really continue the date. Yeah. So, I that's probably not the best way to end the date. I just was not feeling it.
Yeah, I definitely can't judge you. I've definitely taken the fire exit on at least one occasion. I've had that same experience where some of the women I've met online don't really match up to what they say they are. Or sometimes I get the feeling that they don't really know. They're not really connected with who they really are. And personally, I think that that's one of the great reasons for creating an online dating profile, so you can kind of get in touch, you know, in touch with more of who you are. And it can be kind of used for self-development in that way. And I think that that's kind of what your services are helping people do.
Yeah, it's really important to be able to put your best self out there. And, you know, I sometimes get guys, they feel like their ego will not allow them to get help. And I personally don't really understand that. Because I'd never have a problem with like reaching out for help, and I would never feel like my ego would get in there, you know. They're like, I should figure this out on myself. But the thing is, like, we don't walk around every day with a sheet of paper showing people, okay, this is who we are. So it's like a different thing that's going on. It's not like you should know how to do that. You should know how to present yourself on this piece of paper, because that never happens. So you know, if you don't really know what you're doing, it's nothing wrong with reaching out for help. But the way I kind of, like, and a lot of times people don't really, maybe they have low self-confidence and they don't even realize the good aspects about themselves. So in the academy, I have like these worksheets to just ask simple questions about like what is the most attractive thing about you? Do you have like a nice smile? Do you have nice hair, nice eyes? What have you been complimented on? So anything that's physical. So absolutely anything. And then, you know, what is an accomplishment you're proud of, or what are your accomplishments? So you're listing any kind of accomplishment that the person's had in their life. You know, are you, where are places you've traveled with something? What is something that's like, what do you do day to day? What are your goals? What are your aspirations? Things like that, to pull out who they truly are and what really motivates them and what's really they think is what they're proud of that they've accomplished. And just that alone could make a good profile. But if, let's say, if you've actually done a lot of really high value things, it can kind of come off bragging. Mm-hmm. So in order to address that, you would want to throw in things that maybe they're silly. Maybe they're just totally like not really a big deal. But let's say, because once I came in third place in a hot dog eating contest. So let's say if I was to write that I'm a valedictorian engineering graduate, that's considered a high value thing, and it can come off like bragging. But not if the next sentence or the next little blurb I write, you know, I also came in third place in a hot dog eating contest. It kind of takes the edge off of this thing, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
So you want to be able to put these high value things about yourself in there. And the way you do that without coming off bragging or even coming off too plain, like if you're just listing a bunch of things that are kind of very similar, maybe if all your accomplishments were around the same thing, you just throw in little things about yourself that are maybe silly or just completely contrasting with that thing. You know, once I was backpacking around Cambodia and I ate a barbecue tarantula. So if I just throw that little blurb in there, it can take the edge off of one other thing. And it makes it much more interesting to read about rather than if you just have talking about one thing about yourself, you know?
Right, right. In my experience, I've seen a lot of cliches, a lot of similar things. And, you know, looking at women's profiles, for instance, almost every girl has a picture of her with a drugged tiger or skydiving,
tiger,
standing in front of a fountain in Las Vegas. Yes. And assault rifle, girl with assault rifle. That's a big
one. It's the worst. I'm not emailing that girl.
What are some of the cliches that guys tend to do that you try to steer them away from?
Really, it's anything that is like a cliche of just even like the sentence structure of being cliche. I just hate cliches unless it's meant to be like funny. You can throw in a cliche to be funny, but if you're just doing it just because you're writing in a cliche way, I'm trying to actually think of some that I've seen.
There's a great video on YouTube you can look up. It's like 80s dating videos. Mm-hmm. And every single guy says, yeah, I like to have fun. And then it like cuts to the next one. It's like, yeah, I'm truly into having fun. And that's like one of those things, just being too general about what you like.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't recommend ever stating, let's say, saying you're funny. I teach something called don't talk about it, be about it. So instead of stating you're funny, if you're actually fucking funny, man, you should be able to write a funny profile. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, you say you're funny, but then your profile reads boring. Like, it doesn't click. So don't list things that you are, you know, say, like, don't say I'm driven. Instead, say, okay, I'm a valedictorian engineering graduate. So that deals with that rather than just saying you're a certain way. It kind of shows by, you know, the actions that you've taken in your life.
Right. It's a little bit about storytelling, really. Taking what you do and putting it into the context of you doing it.
Exactly. Yes.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk about rejection, because, you know, in the real world, coping with face-to-face rejection and dating is really, really hard. And in my experience with dating apps and online dating, it seems like the rate of rejection, which mostly comes in the form of just not getting replies, is exponentially higher. It's almost comical. So how do you not take that personally and let it get you down?
I mean, with online rejection, I don't really pay any attention to all of that, like, because there's just a girl is getting bombarded by so many messages, I don't even know if I would call it rejection, because you don't even know what's going on there. Like, you have no clue what's going on in a girl's life. Now, if consistently there's a certain point at which a girl is like disappearing, let's say she responds to your first email, and consistently a girl is not responding to your second email, then you're going to have to look at that, like assign a value to that and see, you know, is there something you're saying? Is there something consistent you're saying? Like at this point, I'm more pay attention to rejection in person, like after I get the date. If I get a first date and don't get a second date, then I really try to, yeah, I'm pretty much got all that stuff figured out now. But initially, I would write in my journal a lot because consistently I just couldn't keep dates going. But now it's like 100%. Like, never would I not get a second date. But initially, it was really, really low. And I figured out all the things that I was doing by reflecting on what was going on. I wouldn't just like pity myself and just like not think about it and feel bad. I would, all right, what am I doing wrong here? Something's going on. And I would always take responsibility. And I would write about those things, and I figured out a lot. Like, some dates I would be like, after I wrote about it, I'm like, whoa, I was being a dick. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's really good to get that bit of reflection going. I like that you're writing in a journal. That's really helpful too, because then you can really have it down and reread it and look at it. And
oh, yeah, big on writing. Like, I actually just recently converted over to I use Evernote in my iPad as a journal, and I actually write more now. So I use that more. Actually, I got it right here.
I talked about that before, just about how important it is to have times of reflection. Because
yes,
when you're in the middle of it, it's really hard to tell what's going on.
If I didn't reflect, I mean, I've learned 10 times as much, because I've been writing in journals since 2001. I have a stack of journals. And thank God I switched to this. I actually write more now, but it's like much more convenient. And I've just learned every time I reflect on even the smallest thing, I learn something new, like that I would not have learned if I didn't reflect on it.
Right.
And I have these questions built in where I ask myself, you know, like, what did I do? What could I have done better? You know, how did someone make me feel? Because if I know how they made me feel, then I can know how, you know, if I'm doing the same thing, maybe that's going to make other people feel. Nice. Yeah, but to come back to what you were saying about the rejection, yeah, just putting value on that rather than just feeling bad, putting value on that and try to improve and kind of analyze what happened so you can improve.
That's great. Well, I have thought about throwing myself under the bus one more time for my audience and having you check out one of my online dating profiles. I tend to throw myself under the bus a lot on this podcast, but I think that's maybe one of the responsibilities of being a host of a show, is that you got to get vulnerable sometimes. So you've been very gracious to kind of give me a little review of how you think I'm doing on there. I'll give you a little primer on this first. I've definitely gone through a lot of versions of this profile. I've gone from trying to be really detailed and honest, which came off a little more serious, to just writing all out nonsense on there. And I've been trying to trim it back to the bare minimum right now and get this like nice mix of playfulness and honesty. But truthfully, it's kind of come to a standstill, which is okay because I'm just dating one person right now. So I don't really need to be inundated at the moment, but it'd be good to assess where I came to, because if I was still dating, I'd be feeling pretty bad about this right now, I think, because it's really just come to a dead halt. So maybe you can get in there and you just describe what you're seeing, and I'll try to not sit here and cry.
All right, I'm going to be brutally honest here.
No, hit me with it. It's great.
All right, let's see where we're going to start here. I will start with your photos. Photos are pretty important. Let's see. And I've already looked over your profile a bit. Okay, so this Prince costume is pimping, yo.
that consistently gets the most comments. For all you out there, I had a pretty epic Halloween costume dressed up as Prince and ended up at Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning eating pancakes and being way too sexy.
Yeah, nice pose. All right, so it's good to have like a few good-looking photos of yourself, like model-esque. But whenever you have too many, it can come off. It can give a certain vibe that you're not looking for. So what I would recommend doing is deleting several of these photos, not because they're not good photos. It's that the combination of photos, it can be a little bit over the top, like a little too much. Mm-hmm. Like you only really need maybe one or two like really good looking photos, and then the others more kind of showing more personality and life of what's going around you. So looking over your profile now, like the main photo, I mean, not your main photo, the last one where you're smiling, I would definitely keep that one. The photo, the model-esque photo with the reflection on your face with the white shirt, that one, just because you look really good in a couple of the other photos, so there's no reason to kind of overdo that feel.
Gotcha.
And I would actually delete the surfing one there. You're standing here with this guy. I would actually delete
probably a picture of me actually surfing would sort of that storytelling thing of kind of I'm like meta surfing in that picture, not actually doing it. I'm just standing holding a surfboard just for people to understand what we're saying.
Yeah, so I would do it. Out of these, I would have three photos. I would have the last one where you're smiling, and then I would have the first two.
Okay.
With the other ones, it's like you're trying to be a little bit too cool.
Gotcha.
With those combinations. So, yeah, that's what I would do with the photos. Now, let's check out, and you could definitely add, I recommend not really going over like maybe nine photos. So you could have a, but you don't have to have that many. You can have like five. But those three would, just having those three would actually increase your response rate, just because, you know, maybe a girl would be like, this guy is a little bit, you know, too into himself or something like that. So it's like little things that it's hard to pick up on yourself. Like it's so funny. I worked with a friend of mine. She works for an ad agency, and they would get these huge ad contracts from like Apple. And the amount of work, she would look through thousands of photos to get a certain feel. I mean, one photo, and they would pay her so much money for like weeks of work for one photo. So, and then I actually would help her, you know, for a few months, and I started to kind of develop a sense of like how she was doing her work. And she's very like she's really good with kind of getting the feel of how things are. So that's how I kind of got good at that. And I help guys do this like every day. So I got kind of good at like the feel that they were putting off with their profiles and their photos. All right. So now let me roll over to your written profile. Okay. So I actually like how you do something similar to what I was just talking about, because you mentioned this whole creative punctuation thing. So that's kind of a really lighthearted thing. And it's totally contrast with a few other things you're mentioning there. So you're bouncing around and it keeps it light and playful. So I like what you're doing there.
For the audience, I said a few somewhat serious things and mentioned that I like creatively using punctuation.
One thing that I like, or I recommend doing on OkCupid is, you know, you see how they have all these sections? Like it's like 8 sections. So I actually recommend just writing your profile so it flows naturally, and not even using maybe just 2 of these sections, the self summary, which where you put absolutely everything about yourself so it flows, but I don't recommend it being over like 300 words. And then the part about you should message me if, because it's important to fill in what you're looking for in a girl.
Right.
But your profile is actually pretty well written. That's like one thing that I would recommend doing is putting it all in one location. And only, oh yeah, I actually made a note here. There's a couple things I didn't see. Oh, like really mentioning about what you find important. Like it talks about what are you about you, but really stating something with some passion, like whatever it is you're working on. Like let's say if this podcast business, but you're really passionate about it, you know, maybe talking about that a little bit more about what's really important to you, because nowhere do I get that feel. It's just kind of like, you're talking about what's going on, but not any certain thing with any passion. So it's good to have talk about your passion there. That's one thing.
Yeah, that's great advice. Show your passion. That's good.
And then one other thing is that women want to know how you are with other people. Like it could be like a pet. It could be your interaction. Like if you, I don't know how you spend your weekends. If you have a certain few best friends you spend time with, if you name, you know, a best friend by name and say, you know, what y'all usually do on the weekend, it just shows your interaction with another person, and a girl really likes to see that. So that's something really important to put in there. Username, you have a decent username, so there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes I see the worst usernames ever.
Do you want to talk a second about that?
Well, the deal with the username is that it's like a prime real estate. Like when you email a girl, let me go look in your messages. Like your username is going to be like right there at the top. It's going to be dark, bold letters right there at the top. So you can get a feel across or a message across with that. And a lot of guys just waste it. Like I'm looking in an inbox on an account now that it's just a bunch of usernames that don't make any sense. It's like L Hayden 7345, Ace 86 Echelon. It's like it's a bunch of nonsense. So it doesn't put across any kind of field. It's not visually appealing. It's not really anything. So you want to make sure you use that username space for a good reason. It can be just something visually appealing, like you know, coffee is great, or go coffee go, you know, because the word coffee is visually appealing. People like coffee. And I actually find that kind of things that are a little bit nonsensical, but they look good, visually appealing words are better, because guys tend to get themselves in trouble by being too romantic. It can come off too mushy, or things can come off the wrong way. So lately I've been kind of recommending to just things that like are visually appealing. Even you could just look around your desk and pick out a few things, like Post-it notes. You know, your username could be freaking Post-it notes. It's better than
a bunch of numbers.
Right, exactly.
Well, that definitely makes sense. You know, you want to put yourself out there, and you don't just want to be a number to somebody, because that's definitely not going to result in any excitement about who you are.
Yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, so that's kind of the rundown of your profile. So I hope written profile is decent, though.
Well, thank you.
I would just recommend adding those couple of things in there that I went over.
Well, that's great advice. And you do this. This is part of your business as well.
I do like every day. I'm doing like I do these video critiques. So it takes me, I don't know, like sometimes up to an hour or 30 minutes. I go over every part of the guy's profile, like their written profile, their photos, their actual emails, because I'll get their login details. So I can kind of give them feedback about how they're emailing girls and, you know, if they're on the right track. So, yeah, I do that a lot. And I've learned a ton from doing that as well.
If the listeners are interested in checking out the eDating Doc Academy or checking out some of your private services, they can go to...
Yeah, edatingdoc.com. Yeah, check it out.
Great, great. So I think maybe one of the most potent things I pulled away from today is, you know, I really like how you talked about writing in a journal after your dates and then really, you know, having that time to reflect. I think that that's one of the most important things I think you could probably do in any situation. And that could be in a work situation, business situation, dating, anything.
Actually, that's why I got so good at my job so quickly, is that I would write about the people that were really successful in my field that I was around, and write about what they did each day. And I would go to these big meetings and see how people ran these meetings, and I'd write about the guys that were in charge of all this. And I got really good really fast based on that. So I totally agree with you. You can use that in any situation.
Is there any other takeaways you think that the listeners could use to help them get started being on the right track with dating and life in general?
I mean, for me, what really made the biggest difference in my happiness in relationships is openly discussing my needs and communicating. Like, I used to be like the nice guy thing. There's a book about it, No More Mr. Nice Guy, where those kind of people, we don't really voice our needs, and we just expect people to figure them out. And it took me a long time to kind of get over that. And that made the biggest difference in my happiness. Because if you're with a cool girl and you're communicating and she's communicating to you and you're meeting her needs, like, and you give her a chance to meet your needs, then a lot of times you'd be surprised. So it's really good to just kind of communicate and voice those things, whatever it is you want to voice. And if you feel uncomfortable voicing something because you're afraid of the girl's reaction, then that's kind of a sign that it's probably the wrong relationship, because if you can't communicate to a girl without her like getting like pissy or bitchy, it's not a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and it's definitely good to just face that uncomfortability too. That's one of the things that's probably going to help people build confidence in the first place.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Well, man, it's been really fun and insightful to have you on today. Again, it's edatingdoc.com. And you guys, this program that he's got is really, really good. I went into it. I went through it. It will definitely give you a leg up on the massive amount of competition that's out there, but it also really help you learn about yourself and, you know, learn about what you're looking for. So thanks again for coming on today, Radio. It was really awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, Aiden. I really appreciate it.
That's Radio, right, everybody? So that's going to be it for today. If you guys have any questions or comments, I've got a contact page on the site. It's www.theauthenticman.net. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/theauthenticmanpodcast. You know, like the page, and that'll help you stay up to date on what's going on with the podcast. Plus, there's a bunch of cool images and things to share with your friends. So everyone, have a great weekend. Get out there and show the world your authentic self.
Searching for someone who can share that special love with me. And your eyes have that glow. Could it be your face I see on my computer screen? I need a special girl to share with my computer world. I'm a astrology.